Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, folks. Thanks again for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we're continuing in our Discerning the Times series. This one is titled Cancel Culture Continues, and it is February 22nd, Monday. Hope you're doing well today. Interesting times as the left's cancel culture appears to be working overtime. What is interesting to some extent is the fact that quote-unquote progressives are the main force behind the cancel culture, and the very word progressive literally means to constantly be changing. Now, we see this in the cancel culture as it attempts to disable any discourse or anything at all that they've decided should not be heard, seen, or discussed. Did you know that apparently the Bible is not inerrant? That's nothing new. It happened in the 1970s as well, but so says a progressive church pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, according to an article in the Christian Post. The pastor at the church believes the Bible is not inerrant and cannot be understood by allowing it to interpret itself. The pastor says he wants to have a conversation, but really, he doesn't. People like this pastor simply want to advocate their view and have that viewpoint be accepted without question. Now, according to the article in the Christian Post, the pastor received a good deal of pushback on social network after the pastor made his comments, but this does not deter progressives. If anything, it actually emboldens them to continue pushing their baseless viewpoints because they then believe that the quote-unquote persecution that follows against them is proof that they're correct. So, according to their reasoning, the Pharisees were correct in being persecuted by John the Baptist and Jesus, I guess. Well, the problem, of course, is that those who do not believe the Bible to be totally inerrant really do so because when it comes right down to it, their view of God himself is so puny and so limited. They are elevating mankind while denigrating God. Now, they disagree, of course, arguing that their view of God simply does not, quote-unquote, limit him to one particular book. You know, no authentic Christian that I know of believes God has limited himself to one particular book, the Bible. However, we believe that he chose to reveal himself through what we call the Bible, comprising, by the way, 66 individual books, which summarizes all that God wants us to know about him for now. Does this mean that the Bible presents all there is to truly know about him? No, of course not. But God gave us his word as our focus. Once we get to eternity, we will spend the rest of that eternity knowing and learning more about God, because in eternity, with glorified bodies and minds, we will be in a much better position to learn about God and understand God, because our sin nature will no longer be in the way to corrupt our thinking. But this type of extremely narrow view of God proposed by progressives is nothing new. In the 1970s, as I mentioned, there was the battle for the Bible that debunked progressivism then. It's not new. It's simply going to become more widespread and accepted today because of people's itching ears. Paul talks about that in his letter to Timothy and also his letters to the Thessalonians. Moving on, canceled ministries, social networks, and pastors. D. James Kennedy Ministry has been canceled by the TV network Lifetime TV. The reason? Well, mainly due to the ministry's focus on pro-life, anti-abortion. Since President Trump is no longer in office and Twitter was able to successfully ban him temporarily and have now stated that the ban is permanent, other left-wing groups and organizations have begun flexing their anti-First Amendment muscles to cancel other conservative groups. Anyone who does not agree with or propagate their particular agenda should be questioned, silenced, canceled. Now, in fact, it appears that the left is actually foaming at the mouth in their attempts to cancel anyone with whom they do not agree. And the fact that Congress now holds a Democrat majority may make their fascist dreams come true. It's not hard to believe. One wonders where the FCC is in all of this, but that's probably not a good question, since these progressive groups are allowed to literally run amok and trample First Amendment rights with impunity. Last week, the social network Gab, I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but they were offline for about a day. Because of that, several MSM bureaus reported it, and they almost seemed to be dancing with glee. Notice, if you go to my website, studygrowknowblog.com, and look up this article, you'll see an image there where that it has titles of four particular articles by MSM. And one of them, New York Post's title, says this: Alt-right social media network Gab goes dark. Well, what's interesting is that the Post is implying now, get this, that free speech is alt-right, because that's what Gab stands behind. Free speech. The First Amendment does not differentiate between what might be labeled hate speech or speech that is acceptable. The First Amendment guarantees the right of people to speak their minds, no matter how offensive or not that speech might be. And someone's always going to be offended. The progressive left wants all speech they do not approve of to be shut down. Gab went quiet for a short while, one day, to update their servers and take care of internal business. MSM thought it was more than that. Gab is not beholden to an organization like Amazon's server hosting sites, like Parler was before they were shut down, although it appears that Parler is back now. Gab has their own internal server farm, and they connect to the internet through that. Twitter goes down all the time, interestingly enough, and I've never read an article from those on the left announcing it or gloating over it. In fact, when Twitter goes down, it's pretty much ignored by the media. Way of Literature has noted that a pastor in Canada has been jailed for refusing to close his church during the current pandemic, COVID-19. He has not followed the 15% capacity rule pronounced by government officials in Alberta. Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta, has been in custody since last Tuesday, the result of a months-long protracted battle with the province trying to shut them down. The pastor is not giving in to the demands of the government, refusing to promise to abide by the regulations set forth. The pastor's wife sent out an email to church members stating, quote, "He could walk if he just sets aside his God-given pastoral duties, but he can't do that. The Crown has called him a danger to the health and safety of Albertans. May God have mercy on our nation. I read to my children the work the Lord is doing in people through James so they can see the sacrifice of their father is not in vain. My prayer is that men will stand. They can't see that if they shut us down on this issue, they will shut us down on any issue they deem to be a danger to the health and safety of Albertans." Unquote. The absurdity of the cancel culture continues unabated. The jailed pastor's wife in Alberta, Canada, is correct when she states that if they shut us down with this issue, they'll shut us down with any issue. I've said this before as well. I'm certain that at any moment in the future, even if when lockdowns are lifted completely, they'd happen again at the whims of the fascists in government positions. There will never be a true back to normal. That ship has sailed. Christians need to mentally and emotionally prepare for the coming deluge of political persecution coming our way. We will have two choices. We can either cave to the ever-changing demands of the progressive left, or we can decide ahead of time that we will serve God and not honor the anti-God whims of man. It's that simple. Use discretion and ask for wisdom. That wisdom comes from His Word. So, if Christians are not reading His Word daily, how can we expect to gain insight and wisdom into life situations? It's impossible. As Paul stated to the Ephesian believers, he said that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Ephesians 4:14, New King James Version. Well, moving on. Herd immunity is rising. Isn't that something? In spite of the globalists' best efforts so far, it appears that CB19 infections are way down, according to an article in Wall Street Journal. Quote, amid the dire COVID warnings, one crucial fact has been largely ignored. Cases are down 77% over the past 6 weeks. If a medication slashed cases by 77%, we'd call it a miracle pill. Why is the number of cases plummeting much faster than experts predicted? Unquote. Well, let me remind readers that according to numerous medical health professionals, researchers, and doctors, the CV virion has not been isolated in the lab at all. In spite of this, they've created a test that supposedly determines the presence of CV19 and have also created a vaccine allegedly targeted for and based on the CV19 virion. How? How does that work? Well, setting that aside, the article goes on to discuss the fact that up to 55% of Americans must have natural herd immunity to the CV19 virus. Neither my wife or I have gotten it. Neither of our kids have gotten it. Most of the people we know have never gotten it. I was sick, along with my wife, last February, and we went shortly thereafter to the doctor to have our blood tested to see if we actually had CV19. Turns out, we hadn't. When I was sick before that, I went to the walk-in clinic and was tested for the flu. Came back negative. This was just around the time that CV19 was coming to the fore in society, but we didn't know it yet. I do know folks who had it, and it was labeled CV19 and were found to have the antibodies following their return to health. So the point of all this is that herd immunity actually did and is doing its job just as it has done its job for most other viruses, colds, flu, etc., something the experts like Dr. Fauci said would not happen with CV19 without the vaccine. This is why, even with the vaccine, people are still supposed to wear masks, stay away from other lepers, other people in society, and wash our hands until the skin falls off, I guess. Forgive my sarcasm, but there's a great deal we are not being told because it seems that the health experts have an agenda. And that agenda happens to be in line with the Great Reset that has been ballyhooed by World Economic Forum and other foundations and groups. It's more advantageous for these groups to keep us in fear, dependent on them for direction, and for keeping us, quote unquote, safe, than it is for us to use our own immune system to fight off the kinds of things we've almost always fought off. Please don't get me wrong. Please hear what I'm saying. I fully realize that colds, the flu, and viruses in general take many lives every year. It all depends upon a person's particular immune system and whether or not that immune system is healthy or compromised with any underlying health conditions. And from the same Wall Street Journal article, we read this, quote, antibody studies almost certainly underestimate natural immunity. Antibody testing doesn't capture antigen-specific T cells, which develop memory once they are activated by the virus. Survivors of the 1918 Spanish flu were found in 2008, 90 years later, to have memory cells still able to produce neutralizing antibodies. Isn't that interesting? Well, I think it is. It's really a crime the way people have been treated because of CV19. All elective surgeries were canceled for some time, and that included people who were actually fighting cancer. I'm not sure how a surgery related to removing cancer from patients can be considered elective, but it was. It is fortunate that my wife had her first cancer surgery prior to CV-19 rearing its ugly head in society. Because of that, she was spared having to go through chemotherapy. They caught it early. Many others were not so fortunate and ultimately had to go through chemo because they were not allowed to have surgery. And by the time they were allowed, the cancer had spread into lymph nodes and or other parts of their bodies. Let's not even talk about how many people were not allowed into the hospital to say goodbye to their dying loved ones. This is criminal. And yet it was the accepted norm under the circumstances. Folks, I believe Christians especially are at a crossroads in society today. While many pastors are urging Christians to simply submit to and obey the government, I believe now more than ever, Christians should truly understand the actual meaning of Paul's words in Romans 13, as well as Peter's in 1 Peter 2. Are these blanket statements to Christians to obey government regardless? More than ever, we need to use critical thinking skills and discernment. Thanks so much for joining me, and I appreciate it. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.